FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is the first day of March 2017, which means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, how are you?
I'm well. What a month it was, Kerry.
Yeah.
Jeez, all-time highs set throughout the month in all the U.S. markets, including the Dow, which ended its 12-day in a row all-time high yesterday before the Trump speech last night. And really, Kerry, this has become a Trump jump, not a bump. The Dow closed the month 20,812, up almost 5%. S&P 500 up almost 4%, as was NASDAQ, almost 4%. The laggard in this month was the Russell 2000, up only 1.8%.
Only 1.8%. We're so jaded here.
Pardon?
We're so jaded.
Yeah, well, if you look at it, though, and add it up, that market is up something on the order of 16 or 17% since Trump was elected.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Trump, you can't just attribute all this to Trump coming into office, the Wicked Witch is dead, and everything is perfect now. I mean, what is this all about here? I mean,
it's all about Trump, in my opinion. What else is it about? I mean, we're also within our space or my space, commodities have been on a very nice roll. Even the Toronto Stock Exchange had an all-time high. It was over 15,900 before it took about a 3% dump here at the end of the month. And that's really the gold miners have not performed well beginning about, February 21st or 22nd. Right. The same with the Venture Exchange. It hit a 52-week high last week, and then it's fallen off over the last week or so. The Toronto Venture Exchange closed the month at 817 after a 52-week high of 849.
And you'd expect somewhat of a pullback in that situation, wouldn't you?
Well, I think they went up pretty hard, pretty fast. So these little pullbacks are probably of no concern.
Maybe
in addition, the emerging markets had a very nice month, despite the nationalism that's going on in the U.S. Closed the month at 936, up almost 3%.
Yeah, well, nationalism's all well and good. But when you look at the label on a so-called American car, you know, barely 60% of the parts in that car are made in the good old U.S. of A, Mickey. So what's it going to go up to, 65%?
68%? Well, whatever it is, it's good for the U.S. economy and it's good for the U.S. markets. At least the people in Wall Street think so, and the people in Toronto think so. You know, if you look at the VIX, Kerry, was below 12 all month. Yeah. You got to look way down our charts back into the mid-2014 before you see a VIX, which was consistently this low. It finished the month at 1296 yesterday, but it's back below 12 today. I mean, it was built really all about some volatility before the Trump speech yesterday.
Hey, you know, we've talked about that before. So we're living in this low volatility, high return environment. So now we go to our currencies and interesting things happening there as well.
Well, the U.S. dollar was essentially up all month, as opposed to what happened in January. It was stepwise moves, up a bit, flatten out, up a bit, flatten out all month. Of course, the euro looks like a mirror image of that. U.S. dollar closed at 101.15, up 1.6%. Euro was 106, down 2%. 10-year treasury bonds, they basically have been flat since the election. We got a pretty nice bump on the interest rates right at the election, but they've been in this 2.35 to 2.45 range pretty much ever since. So that's going on close to 4 months now.
Hey, so And then we look at our favorite nonsensical market there, Bitcoin.
All-time high for Bitcoin. It went above 1,200 for a bit. Step back just a little bit, close the month at 1194. That's up 23%. And as I was looking at the monthly Bitcoin chart today, I go, geez, that looks quite a lot like the U.S. dollar chart, DXY chart. So I went back and looked, and there certainly is some similarity over the month between the DXY chart and the Bitcoin chart. I have no idea what that means, Gary. It's just empirical observation.
Well, the dollar, we got to look at what's happening in Europe, though, with the elections coming up, Ides of March in the Netherlands. And then the election coming up in France.
Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, that guy is like, he's under investigation. He's a center-right candidate, Philippe. And, you know, he's under investigation, but he's not quitting. It's looking more and more like Marine Le Pen is going to be the leader of France. And Geert Wilders, a heavy anti-Islamist candidate who's been basically the redheaded stepchild of Dutch politics for years, is probably going to take the head. He's probably going to be the next prime minister of the Netherlands.
Well, long story short, Gary, I think is that nationalism is taking over in Europe just as it has in the U.S. So that's all in good. It's a rejection of this one world globalization phenomena that we've gone through in the late 2000s and for the last 5 years.
This is a row of dominoes, and you know, France will be the next. Netherlands, France, and it's going to go on from there. You got Catalonia wanting to succeed. You got Italy. I mean, you got a whole bunch of things. So that has to be good for the dollar. It's got to keep U.S. rates down. So we're on to the metals now, and the metals. Interesting ride for February, huh?
Well, the precious metals have been strong since mid-December. Once people realized that maybe Trump was not going to be bad for the metals business, with higher highs and higher lows. So gold turned in a good month, closed at 1248, up 3%. Silver had the best month of all of them, up over 4% to 1829. Geez, it's been since June since we saw a silver price above $18. Platinum, also a nice month, closed the month at 1022, up almost 3%. Palladium had quite the volatile month. It took a $40 dive one day, but it's recovered since then. Closed at 768, up 2.1%, pardon me. And finally, copper has been up 18% since Trump was elected on November 8th. It closed the month at flat at 271, but it hit a 19-month high at 277 about a week ago. There's been supply disruptions coming in both at Escondida in Chile and Grasberg in Indonesia, two of the largest mines in the world. And also net longs in the hedges in the futures market are at a record high. So that looks very bullish for copper going forward.
Yeah, copper has been on a tear. And I think you're right. It looks it's looking good for Dr. Copper.
It certainly is, Gary.
Yeah, so now we head off to the energy sector, and energy's looking pretty good as well.
Well, WTI had basically a range-bound month between 52 and 54, but it got above 54 and it stayed there over the last week or so after a 19-month high just about a week ago. Closed the month at 54 even, up 2.3%. Brent was flat over the month, closed at 55.93, up only 0.4%. U.S. exports are now at about 1.1 million barrels per day. And the rig count in the U.S. is up 42. So Once again, we said this before, I think, the Saudis and OPEC took it in the shorts on this downturn in oil price and oil oversupply, and U.S. shale producers are the big winner here.
Yeah, sure looks that way. So bad month for Henry Hub, huh? Following another bad month.
Yeah, well, we had a warm winter, and so now we are in the season of low gas demand. So Henry Hub does not look particularly good. It lost 14%, closed at $2.69 after a run of, 4 months above $3. So natural gas in the short term looks fairly bearish. Meanwhile, uranium, it popped to $27 just about a week ago. And then the Japanese utilities or traders came in and sold off into a soft spot demand market. So it fell to $22. It recovered yesterday, closed the month at $24.50, basically flat over the month.
Interesting. So uranium's flat. And then our ratios, nothing really stands out much on them, does it?
No, really, we've had no significant movements in our ratio for quite some time now. Well, with the exception of WTI to Henry Hub, which made a jump basically on Henry Hub going down. Of note, maybe the gold-silver ratio has been less than 70 for 2 months ongoing now after spending 6 or 7 months well above that.
Yeah, exactly. So those ratios are good indicators when they get out of whack that something's going to happen and they're worth paying attention to, but then they equalize and kind of just ignore them. So interesting month there for sure. Bitcoin, the runaway best performer there, huh?
Well, yeah, but that's Bitcoin and it's a very small part of the overall, a minuscule part of the overall world currency markets. I think the real story of the month has to be U.S. markets and the effect that Donald Trump is having on Wall Street.
Yeah, for sure.
Quite a phenomenon, in my opinion.
The only other thing I'd mention on Bitcoin is that there are three ETFs pending, waiting for SEC approval to trade. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we could discuss that at another time. But that could be having some effect on the price of Bitcoin.
Well, I think if this comes to pass, I was unaware of that. It certainly will have an effect on Bitcoin. But I would also caution you, Kerry, 3 or 4 years ago, there was this great move to make a copper ETF, mm-hmm. a couple of copper ETFs. And those really never got off the ground because the regulators did not approve them. So they thought it would very much skew the futures and options market in copper. So those really never came to pass.
Yeah, the other thing is the Chinese were cracking down on Bitcoin exchanges, wanted to audit them, and that had the effect several months ago of driving the price of Bitcoin down. Now they've either given up or the exchanges have moved out of China and people are finding out they don't need exchanges. But outside of that, who knows why it's going up.
We should probably get Trace Mayer on here sometime have him explain it all to us.
Yeah, we've got this guy, the Bitcoin Jesus, that we're trying to track down. But it's always hard to find Jesus when you need him. So, but in any event, hey, find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com. Your Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo, correct? And just tell us your streaming radio.
Mercenarygeologist.fm, Kerry.
All right. And my site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. My Twitter feed is at Kerry Lutz. And if you've got any questions, comments on this show or any others, just send an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. Be happy to answer any questions you might have. And you can look forward to another show right after the close of business on March. We'll get to it within a day or so, as we always do. And we'll see how the markets play out then, Mickey.
Yes, we will, Kerry. Have a good month.
You too. Thanks.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.